Internet Cases Podcast, February 16, 2007.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Internet Cases Podcast. I'm attorney Evan Brown, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois, USA. You know, technically, this is episode number 25 of the Internet Cases Podcast. It's been over a year now since I last did a show, but I've got some new inspiration, mainly in the form of some slick new equipment here that my friend Chris Smith has given me. Chris is, he's a professional podcaster. He first got famous with the Croncast, and I'll put a link to that in today's show notes. And he's been podcasting since way back in 2004, and he's also he also lives here in my hometown of Naperville, Illinois. Now, even though he's still here in Naperville working from home, he's with a company out of Boulder, Colorado called Room 214, and they're doing some great stuff with podcasting and marketing. I'll put a link to Room 214's website in today's show notes, but you should take a look at that and see some of the really interesting stuff that they're doing with podcasting. So Chris brought over to me a very nice M-Audio preamp that I'm using, and a really sweet MXL condenser mic. So hopefully I sound quite a bit better in this episode and in future episodes than what I did back in the first 24 shows. You can go back to the archives on internetcases.com and listen to some of the older shows. When I started podcasting a couple years ago, I essentially was repurposing some of my blog content. I would simply take a blog post and modify it a little bit for the spoken word and then just read it off. Now, I'm still looking at a script here today because I want to be precise in what I'm saying, but going forward, I'm going to tweak the formula a little bit. The old podcasts were generally about 5 minutes, and that's pretty short for a podcast these days, but I'm going to cut back even more for the most part. Maybe I'll do some longer shows, you know, whenever the subject matter may warrant that. But to keep it something that I can manage, I'm going to shoot for about 1 or 2 minutes on each show, sort of just to get to the basics of an issue, if you know what I mean. So enough of an intro. I'm sure I've probably gone over 2 minutes already just talking about this podcast. And now for some real substance. I'd like to talk briefly about YouTube, MySpace, and copyright, and how sites like this, video sharing sites, are managing the large number of allegedly infringing works that may be uploaded to the sites. You may have heard about how sites like YouTube are using what's called fingerprinting software to filter out content that may infringe on content owners' copyright. So what really is the issue here? As you probably know, a lot of big media content owners don't want their videos to be freely available online for any number of reasons. You know, they just may not want it up there simply because it's infringing on copyright, and they may be losing ad revenue. So for any number of reasons, they don't want it up there. And content owners, copyright owners, can sue the site for copyright infringement if videos aren't taken down and the sites don't respond to a valid DMCA takedown notice. You may have heard in this past week about Viacom sending YouTube something like 100,000 DMCA takedown notices, or at least notices that relate to 100,000 different works. So you can imagine what a massive job this is to respond to these DMCA takedown notices for sites like YouTube, who has which has millions of videos online, thousands more updated, uploaded each day. Keeping track of those allegedly infringing works and responding to DMCA takedown notices can be a monumental task. So using software to identify infringing content can really cut down on the cost, and it's bound to make most or both sides happy. It's easier for the sites to manage the content that way, and certainly if more infringing works are being identified, that would be favorable to the content owners. It's not a perfect science, but it certainly is a start. And companies like Philips have developed the technology to help operators of the video sites automatically screen for infringing content. So the question is really, how does all this affect the everyday content producer, like the video blogger or the person making mashups and uploading those, sharing them online, or just the traditional blogger? True, it's mostly an issue between some big companies right now, but it's a reminder that if you're going to upload content to the internet, whether that be text or video or music, you've got to make sure that you have the rights in that content. Now, if you've created all the content yourself, in most cases, you'll be okay. But if you're borrowing from someone else and incorporating that content into your own works, that's in copyright parlance known as derivative works, that may be a different story. So be careful and make sure you have permission to use other people's content when you need it. Well, that's it for this episode, and it's great to be back. Hope to continue podcasting more in the future. Remember, if you need legal advice, you should personally consult with your lawyer. I hope to talk to you again very soon. Thanks for listening.